Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone. It is the Build Up Show. We are back. Liverpool are taking on Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park, 3 o'clock on a Saturday for all you purists out there, which for the vast majority of people who can't get a ticket, like us, means we've got to find some horrendous, dodgy stream, which always bodes well. Chris Pager, hi. You join me for this one?
I do.
John Machin does, and Steve Hoare as well. Gentlemen, welcome.
Hello.
Chris, mission top at Christmas begins here. We've got this thing where Liverpool are the only team to ever be top of Christmas and not win the league, and we've done it three times now.
Oh, is it three?
I think it's three. But no, you've got to be top of Christmas to win the league. So yeah, this is what it's all about. I think it's that point of to do so well against City, to put 8 points ahead of Leicester, to be 9 points ahead of Manchester City is great, but to then fall or drop points at the next available hurdle is a massive thing that we need to avoid.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Liverpool need to go out and win every game, for me, between now and the end of the season. We'd win a lot of trophies if we were able to do that. I'm not sure we will. I do think we'll have too much for Crystal Palace. I think, you know, there's a lot of lads who've played a lot of minutes, and I expect to see, between now and Christmas, a lot more rotation from this Liverpool side. But equally, wouldn't surprise me if he just kept going. And yeah, just kept building a points lead up that made everybody think this is unsurmountable, yeah, no matter what we do. And like, we spoke last week, didn't we, about how I wonder whether if he just keeps playing that first 11, and they keep winning, then Guardiola and Rodgers and everyone just goes, we have to play our first 11 in every game because we have to just win games of football and keep up.
Yeah, you make them realise they can't rotate either, and then it's a game of whose squad lasts. Effectively, I think it's interesting that we've got this game at the weekend, and then you've got Napoli. The Napoli game is more important because I think it gives you that ability. If you get the win against Napoli, then you're done in the group stage. You've got through. You can start thinking about the last 16, which means you can use Salzburg however you want to use that game. But I don't know where you stand there, but I kind of agree with Chris. I think these are both almost as important because of City playing Chelsea.
The Premiership has to be as important as anything else we do. So you've got to go with the strongest team you can against Palace and win, and then take on Napoli. I mean, you know, Chris is saying we play the same team, you know, whatever. But there will be changes in our midfield in almost every game.
But it won't be in
but
the
there won't
League.
Be the team.
Yeah.
You know, it won't be like a change in the team. It'll be the odd midfield player drops in other one drops, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this week we've got the dilemma. Do you play Ginny, who's played a couple of, you know, internationals, and Ox, who's played a couple of internationals, and Henderson, who hasn't played at all? And Jimmy Milner hasn't played at all. So, you know, are you going to say the two who played can wait to Napoli? Or do you say we're not interested in who's played what? We're just going to pick the best team we think for Palace?
I think he will do that, to be honest with you, because I think, you know, I take the point about the Champions League. I don't think it's as important to Klopp as the Premier League, if I'm honest. I think he's shown that maybe there's reasons, but he starts Keita and he starts Ox against Genk twice, doesn't he? And they must win games as well, because you have to get 6 points. Now, the opposition isn't probably of the calibre of a Crystal Palace and a Napoli, granted, but he still has to win those games.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've really seen changes in the Premier League.
But on that logic, if it is an issue, Palace and Napoli in terms of levels, you'd be maybe more inclined to see him play a team like Ala Genk against Palace than against Napoli, because he's shown when you come against the best of the best opposition, he'll want Henderson, Wijnaldum, Fabinho, he'll want the front three in there. But we've seen examples, look, Villa away stake is an example, Adam Lallana. No, we know the reasons he wants to keep Fabinho off a yellow card, etc. But he has been prepared to gamble in both competitions. But I think Napoli are such a strong team that he might weight it slightly towards that.
I don't know. I think the fact that we've got injury doubts over a couple of, you know, nailed on starters means he might not want to rotate elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, if Salah and Robertson can't play and they're both doubts at the minute, there's two you're missing already. To then make changes as well.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you've got five first teamers, your best team not playing. So I think the fact that it's likely that Salah won't play, it's like, you know, Robertson's 50-50. He's already probably put a mill on that left back and he's got a choice of maybe Origi or Chamberlain in his front three. Yeah. To then go and do anything else, I think it's a bit much. So I think he'll go for Palace with what he's got, and then he'll come in on Sunday, Monday, whatever, and then that's when he picks his Napoli team.
My feeling on that is, you're right, and just to your point, I don't think, well, when we talk about this, it's not like we're talking Capital One Cup, where the Carabao Cup changes, you know, to normal league game changes. We're talking Origi starts a game in place of one of the front three, and maybe Oxlade-Chamberlain comes in place of one
Ox
of the midfields.
Comes in, or Ginny plays and Milner drops out. You know, I mean, it's only going to be one or two. If that, I mean, Steve's right, that if you're going to make changes for injuries, you're not making too many.
If Salah's a doubt, which means that, he can carry on because he's been playing. He's not injured, is he? He's just got a persistent thing that's being managed or whatever at the moment. But it's whether he thinks, well, do I play him against Palace and give him Napoli off, or do I give him Napoli off and play?
I just think he's injured. I think he made it worse against City. You know, he's been in that walking boots. He's missed international, but he hasn't even, to give him time off. He didn't even really go to Melwood, did he? Much. He was there for treatment for a little bit. So I would be very surprised if we see him at all, even Palace or Napoli. I think he's probably looking a week after. I think if he can get Robertson on the pitch, he will. I think he's been playing through it as well. I think it's one of those things that they're going to just try and manage. The thing is, in the league, is that it isn't unfathomable that Liverpool can build a lead that then you can start changing. So if you can get yourself into a 12-point lead or whatever, 13, 14 points, you can then start taking your foot off the gas a little bit. I think that's the aim. I think he's almost trying to do how Chelsea won the league, is that can we win the league by January? I know, again, I'm not saying we will, but that's the aim, isn't it? Time just blathered it now.
Yeah.
And then we can kind of manage the rest of the season as we are then. I think it's too important at the minute. I think he's literally just going to pick, say, who's fit, who's available, you're playing, and then we'll cross the next bridge when we get to it.
Yeah.
And I must admit, like, the Robertson thing's interesting to me, because at some point with him not training, there is going to be a law of diminishing returns. And I think he actually uses this week to go, do you know what? He's had 2 weeks off from Scotland. If he's 100% fit, I think he starts. Yeah. If he's not,
Trent.
No, Robbo.
No, I mean, if he's...
Oh, no, if he's not 100% fit, I think you just get him to 100% fit, because you can use that 2 weeks for free, get that third week in him, hopefully it's all behind him, and then he can go properly for the rest of the run, rather than him being at 75%, 73%, 70% going into each game.
Well, because I was going to say, if he's fit, and at that, you know, all the rumours and assertions and this is that he's fine. You know, he needed some treatment. He wasn't so bad. He probably could have played for Scotland, but he's taken this time to get himself right. And my question, Dad, was more on the lines of, if Robertson is fit and available, Trent's played a lot of football. He's played more football than Robertson in this last spell, not by loads, but by a sum. Do you maybe say Palace is a good opportunity? Because you can trust Milner in that game.
Well, Gomez.
Well, Gomez is a doubt, isn't he? So I don't know whether he could.
But he was only upset, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Fine.
I don't know, man.
He did
miss a training session with England and stuff, but they reckon he's like 75% that he can figure out.
I don't think there's going to be any. I don't think this is even a conversation. I don't think he rests anyone.
Yeah.
I think he just picks his best team for Palace. And if anything, he'll make changes against Napoli.
He has some against Palace as well, doesn't he? After that first game in Anfield,
I think he just goes strong against Palace, and then he sees what's left for Napoli. Because the thing with the Napoli game is, even a point, you still got the Salzburg game. You know what I mean? I think my
feeling on this though, it's so there's just so many games of football to play.
Yeah.
It's too important. And you're not saying, look, this is not a, would you sacrifice 3 points in the league to get 3 points in the Champions League? It's not that, because you can get 3 points in both. But I don't, there's going to be a waiting, I think, between the two, because there's just going to be fitness issues. You're not going to be able to play. If he considers Henderson, Wijnaldum, Fabinho to be his best midfield three, and we know what his best front three is, and we know, barring injuries, what his best back five is he going to want to play them two games on the bus? There is a slight difference between what Klopp's best team is and what, you know what I mean, the rotation thing. It's a good game. It's whether it's a good game for Oxlade-Chamberlain maybe a good way to look at it.
He also does have views on his team for European games, doesn't he? He just tends to play Milner in European games.
Well, yeah, that's it.
And I think those things come into the equation, you know.
Well, that's where Milner's got all his full
Robertson not being fit obviously means Milner will play left back, and that'll probably rule him out in Napoli unless Robertson's still unfit.
Yeah. Because you know? The Oxlade-Chamberlain stuff, Steve, I think it's probably the first time in ages I've been really happy to see a player go on England duty. Because he really needed those games, and he comes away, I think he covers himself in glory, great goal in the first game, gets an assist in the second. But having basically played two games of football, is that then do Liverpool look to keep him wrapped up or whatever? Be careful with them at the weekend.
It's Tuesday to Saturday, isn't it? I something you've got to play.
And also, he needs those games of football. Because what better way to get yourself ready for two games a week than two games in a frigging week, by the way?
He said that's where he's short, isn't it? Playing 90 minutes, so.
At some point, they're all going to play. Yeah. So I don't know. I think he goes as what best he can for Palace, and then we go from there. I think you want to start a run with your best team, and then you kind of mix and match it. And listen, every game's a big game between now and the end of this. I mean, there's no gimmies. I mean, depending on what your thoughts are on the Club World Cup, bar the League Cup, which we're just going to bin, you know, and see what happens with the under 23s. That's the joys of being a big club. And listen, Man City got through it last year, and ultimately they got to finals.
Well, Crystal Palace is a good example of where they didn't get their
eye off the ball in the league, though, can they? I mean, they've got reasonably easy games coming up between now and when we play Leicester on Boxing Day, apart from Everton, maybe, which is always tougher. We're playing the likes of West Ham and Bournemouth and Brighton. They're all games which you should be winning, but which are there as banana skins to drop points in.
That's the thing, isn't it? We've earned this gap.
We really need to actually push right through that. And then you get to Boxing Day and you're really sitting pretty.
That's the thing, isn't it? We've played the top seven and won most of those games. Obviously, drew one against United. We've earned them right now to go and extend that gap with a run of games you'd expect Liverpool to win. Without being disrespectful, Liverpool are better than the teams they're going to face. So now you've got to do it, otherwise that's kind of for nothing. So I think you've got to go to Palace and win, see what happens between City and Chelsea, you know, what you'd call two of the title rivals at the minute. They're playing each other, so one of them's dropping points. So before you know it, you could have a very substantial lead. Obviously, Leicester's fixtures are pretty easy for them. So I think he'll go, what we consider his best team, I think what we all agree, other than, if he makes changes, it'll be because Salah and Robertson are fit. If they were fit, they'd be playing. I think it's nailed on.
Just to riff off of what Steve said there and go back to what you said at the top of the show, that falling at the first hurdle thing. Well, we play 3 o'clock, they play 5:30. We'll drop points in this game and then City go out there like that, ready to play Chelsea, win 3 points, big turnaround. No, you can't let that happen.
Yeah.
You can't let that happen at all. You go out there, you win, you put them under more pressure.
You want
they're
them
shitting
thinking,
themselves when they go out that they have to get 3 points.
Exactly. You want them going into that Chelsea game thinking like, we're about to go through one of our toughest games of the season, and the best we can possibly hope for
is get back to nine.
Is to get back to a nine point gap. No, I completely agree on that. It's just going to be very interesting to see how the manager does handle it, because of, as I say, that it's every game's big.
You know, that's what odd is that, like, notoriously Palace away is one of those games where you always look at it and think, you know what I mean? And even our record there is actually quite good in recent years. But they're always tough games. You never come out of Palace away thinking we breezed through that. Even like Burnley away recently, we've kind of cracked Burnley away. We keep winning there, but they've always, other than the earlier year, they've always made us work for
it. While they've got Zaha and while they've got AU and while they've got Townsend to come
and
in or whatever,
a good crowd in that ground. Quite a difficult place to go to.
But it's pace, isn't it? You can never discount just having fast, skillful lads
Or lads who can score from 40 yards.
Yeah.
And that, they've got that in them, you know what I mean? They've got...
Well, exactly. This is exactly what we're saying. This is what undid Man City last season. It wasn't being comprehensively played off the pitch. It was Andros Townsend smacking one in a season. Yeah. One in off, you know, from 25, 30 yards or whatever, which is the issue with Crystal Palace, is that you're right. I mean, look, I think we've had one clean sheet there since they came back to the Premier League, which was last season, and you wouldn't say that was a comfortable win in any way, shape, or form. We got a penalty, and Mane scores in like the 90th minute to finally put it to bed. So yeah, you're right. It'd be silly of us to take our eyes off it. I just want to talk about some of the players that have come back or whatever. Jane Shaqiri, Chris, the absolute forgotten man. We talked about him on the Reds News Roundup, and what a big boost that is for Liverpool. I think he's played
not a big boost.
Psychologically, he's played like, I think it's 14 minutes for us this season.
14 more than I remember.
Yeah, 4 substitute appearances.
Really?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
But I mean, I don't
literally
expect
the forgotten man.
I mean, it'd be mad to see him go get thrown straight in. But also, you know, he's there. He's a top quality footballer. When you look at those lads who could come in and say Salazar, Origi's probably going to be the first option in that regard.
Shaq becomes your sub.
He's got a lot of work to do to get back into the manager's thoughts, really, hasn't he, Shaqiri? And he's got to take those opportunities, whether it's 14 minutes or 40 minutes, if he's able to get one. I think, you know, he should get more minutes through this part of the season. I'd be really surprised if he got minutes against Crystal Palace, just with Klopp and knowing how long he likes people to train for. He goes back in on training on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. When you're not in a rush to get someone back in, yeah. I think you give him 2 weeks probably before he's a proper
Pepper's
feature.
Come out and said the World Club Championship is so important that, and you sort of suggested, without saying it clearly, that every fit first team player will be on the plane to play in that tournament. It'll be interesting to see whether Shaq is on the plane or he's left behind.
Yeah.
Then you'll know how much he's in.
Which is mad, isn't it? Because we were talking about him on the Reds News Roundup, weren't we, Steve? He's so good. He's such a good footballer. And the fact that we have completely forgotten about him is a bit mad, because, as we mentioned, this spell last year is when we get all our value out of Shaqiri this time last year.
Pretty much pays us, you know, 30 million quid, and he repays you in those 6 goals around that time, almost pay for himself at that point. So he will get games. I think he will see him. Again, it's probably too early. If Salah doesn't play, he could be the one who comes in on the bench. So Origi goes up into the first team, and then Shaq backs him up on the bench.
He drops into that category of football, and this is what our squad is. Outside of the probably 13 players, I think, who are nailed on, they could start, you know, they're Klopp's true first choice players. But he's one of those players who, you drop him out, any one of our first 11, you know, in the position he plays in, and you put him in for the odd game, no one's asked. Because that's how good he is, and it, you know, we've gone so far this season. People talking about the depth that we've got. There's a lad there who's he's Switzerland's best player. He's a Premier League quality, he's a Champions League quality player that we have access to. Again, probably a bit too soon, but if any of us, I'm sure most of us, we'd miss Mohamed Salah. But if he chose to go with Shaqiri in the front three instead of Origi, I don't think anyone would be up in arms about the decision. It would be a bit odd, because to throw him in out the cold kind of thing. Like, but I think
you mean if he's fit and fresh, yeah, and you know, he's just, back into,
you know,
it.
All of a sudden, you know, it's not like...
I, you know what? I have a few question marks over him still. I think, you know, he had a really good portion of last season, but then he proper tailed off. Like, and he was useless in games.
So, he never played. The question is why didn't he play?
There's a reason he wasn't playing, isn't there? You know, we might not know, but really he's clearly tailed off. Otherwise he'd have been involved. We were in so many games towards
it's a bit of a vicious circle, isn't it? Because if you don't play games, you don't get fit and you don't get really sharp. But if you're not really sharp, you don't get in.
He seemed to perform well in that 4-2-3-1. From last season, from my mind, and never performed in 4-3-3. That's the thing that I think a lot of people are forgetting right now.
Apart from Barcelona.
He
wasn't great against Barcelona. He was rubbish against Barcelona, but he
set a goal.
That's what he's got going for him, that he's got that ability to do something. And if you want, from a sub, it would be great if you could bring a sub on and he's just brilliant.
Well, given that we could go to 4-2-3-1 in the last 10 minutes of games when we've been chasing something, or we've been trying to force it.
City, Trent moved to right wing, so we might be behind him in the pecking order now as well.
He can take a free kick. He's got that, you know, like I say, he's almost like you can bring him off the bench and expect him to do something. Yeah. He might be a bit rubbish, but then all of a sudden, like the Barca game, he was rubbish. And
he put, I think he's more of a liability over 90 minutes than he is over 20.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. So I think
he got more chance of getting something out of him in 20 minutes.
Even Divock Origi good subs. Again, if you're dropping them in isolation, it's your first truthful extra time side. There's not really any problem with them starting a game, but they're not going to be.
You prefer them as subs.
Exactly.
I think the worst place to put him is wide. Because he's not a winger in any way, shape or form. And he loses his touch of the game too easily. Yeah. He needs to be involved. Because he's got great touch. Yeah. You know, can pass the ball, shoot.
But he fits the big, stuck on the wing. Big thing is, we were talking about this in the car, I think it was yesterday, Paul, is that when you put someone in on the wing there, the whole team is built around that winger getting into the box and scoring goals. Yeah. Shaqiri wants to play the pass, which is fine. He's got a brilliant through ball. He can judge a pass. He can pick a man out. He can pick a run out. Origi's natural instinct as a centre forward is to get in the box and score goals. Yeah. So he works out on the left.
Yeah.
Shaqiri's a winger playing an inside forward role. It doesn't suit him. Yeah, put him in that 10 and he looks much better.
What he is, and he falls into the same category as Naby Keita, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Adam Lallana, that these things, 10 minutes to go, and you're looking to overload, and you're taking the likes of Henderson out of the game. You want lads who are great in small spaces, and there's no one better than James.
Because it's massive to him.
Yeah, exactly, it's huge.
All the time in the world, boys.
Yeah. But that's where we've been seeing Liverpool, and whether it's just our break glass solution to football matches, or whether it's something we'll see an evolution of this side, but you can see where his use is going to be, and they are when teams are backing off, teams are sitting deep, but Liverpool are looking to make something happen. You put is another good option in that regard, and it's up to him because we still got Keita is still trying to prove himself. Lallana, isn't he? I think Oxlade-Chamberlain has won. You know, is so close to being a true first 11 starter.
I think we'll see Shaqiri start Shaqiri's a few home games over December. I would be amazed if we didn't. Between now and Boxing Day, that John mentioned that run. He'll start a couple of those
games. Well, we said, didn't we, Steve, the level of opposition, he gets goals against the kind of teams that we're coming up against.
Cardiff, Fulham, Burnley, like that's what he done last. That's what he did. Yeah. Man United were crap, he scored against them. Yeah. They were a rubbish team when we played them. They probably still are for a bit. But genuinely, the teams who are not the top teams, but the level below, he'll do that because he'll score Premier League goals because he always has scored Premier League goals.
And that's what, again, the Origi bracket. Yep. He's more than good enough to come into this type of football matches and probably have a tangible impact.
In terms of Palace, that his choice is going to be.
He's not even going to be on the bench. Yeah, we've
spent 10 minutes talking about a guy who's not playing in this.
No,
game.
But he's one of the options that we. If Sal's out, the three that you'd say it's Origi, Shaqiri, or Chamberlain. You would say one of those. You're going to play somewhere in the front three with Firmino and Salah. Sorry, with Firmino and Mane. He's in the conversation. If he's 100% fit. Klopp will definitely, he's in consideration for sure. He must.
If he's decided, like for example, if he's decided Chamberlain's playing in the midfield for this,
then it's a Rigi or Shaq. It's a shootout for the front two, isn't it?
So. Right, we're going to talk a little bit more about what the team's going to be in a moment. But before we do, I was lucky enough to speak to God himself, Robbie Fowler, all the way from Australia. The full interview is available in podcast form on the redmentv.com. Have a listen. Yes, you can get the full interview right now on the redmentv.com. Go over there, sign up. It's completely free for the first month. So you want the full thing. Very, very good stuff indeed. A whole range of subjects covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's crack on with the show then, Mr. Chris Pager. We've talked about what, you know, whether Clark will preference one match or the other or whatever. Does Chris Pager preference one match or the other? Is it a Henderson,
elite mentality, mate? Always the game in front of you.
Yeah.
Always the game in front of you. That and the Premier League. Anything.
Anything out of the ordinary then for you?
No. I think, to be honest, I'd put Robbo down, but as we were talking before, I've changed my mind and I think preferred 11-wise, I'd probably go Milner at this point just to make sure that Robbo's 100% for the next few games that are coming up and stuff. Other than that, I'm probably looking at Mane, Firmino, Origi, front three, normal midfield. Lovren, obviously, probably the centre half over Gomez.
Yeah,
I'm going to run Trent into the ground.
Yeah, that's the only thing for me. There's two decision points, injuries notwithstanding. Is I would probably put Oxlade-Chamberlain in for this game, just because I think, maybe Napoli is finally the big team. Maybe this is his chance to step up and try it against a really, really top team.
He performs against those type of teams.
Yeah, exactly. But he's so far, we haven't really tested him, I think, against real quality opposition from the start. So it could be that. But following on what we've seen so far, I think this might be the game. And the only other thing I'm doing is I think Milner plays regardless. I think he either plays left back or he plays right back. If Robertson's fit, because he's had the international break off, I'm playing... I'd be putting Robertson in and I'd be taking Trent out just to give him a little bit of time off. Or if Robertson's not fit, then he naturally it'll have to be Milner. That's all I'd be doing, Steve.
I think Trent will play. I'd play him as well. I wouldn't. I'm not interested in giving him a rest just yet.
Give me the young lad.
Give me the points. So I'll box that off later. I think Milner will play left back. If I'm honest, I think he might leave Robertson, and then it, then in the midfield, it will be probably Firmino, Henderson, Gini. And then I think it's Origi or Chamberlain in the front three.
Yeah.
I think I would go Chamberlain. I think I would go Chamberlain on the left, put Mane on the right and put Firmino up front. So I think Chamberlain will naturally help Milner, who I think will be at left back as well, which might give a little bit more solid over there. Mm-hmm. And this might sound mad, but I don't know what we're going to get from Ox this year. So let's strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Let's get it now because who knows? Inevitably there's going to be a dip. There's got to be because you don't just come back and be brilliant straight away. And for the most part, you know, his performances haven't been altogether fantastic. But he's had these moments, so I would just kind of go with the hot hand.
Yeah.
Get him in the team, get him playing, get him fit, and then Origi's almost there for Napoli if you need him again. If Mo can't play, Origi's first sub again as he always is. I'm just not. It's one of those. I think Origi's a good sub. I don't think he's a brilliant starter. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I'd do.
John, what's actually going to happen?
The Oracle over
here. We've all had a guess over here, but tell us.
Well, I mean, I'm hoping that everyone's fit and then your only problem is what you do in midfield. And my midfield against Palace would be Fabinho, Henderson and Wijnaldum. Uh-huh. I'd keep Ox for Napoli because he's new.
Yeah.
We haven't been great against Napoli. Even the last game, we outplayed them, we got beat.
Yeah.
I think Ox might be a little bit of a joker factor in there, you know, which might tip the balance. So I would go with him against Napoli.
And as we said,
and maybe if Robertson's not fit, obviously Milner will replace him. If Robertson is fit, then I think Milner will play against Napoli.
The Oxlade-Chamberlain thing, just from what I was saying before, Dad, he's not. We've built him up nicely. You know, we've brought him back. We've managed him really well on this journey back to the first team. You know, and he's performed against whoever he's come up against. But we haven't got many top teams now in this spell. So it would be interesting experiment just to go on. You're starting against Napoli. You've earned the right to start in a really big game.
What he's been doing is finding little pockets of space just outside the penalty area,
and
those are invaluable. If you can find a player who can pick the ball up there with enough space to get a shot away, you know, he's worth his weight in gold, and I think that's what he's doing at the moment.
It's kind of hard playing against the Palace. Well, I actually quite like what they do at the back. They're not amazing. They've got good, you know, Kale's been really good for them. It's probably going to be Tomkins next to him. They're not brilliant, but they can defend all right. They made Chelsea work hard for that 2-0, for example. Again, Chamberlain is that, what you say, he's the one who could score from 20 yards. You know what I mean, he might need that.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I'd be having him in. Again, Palace aren't like, they're not a brilliant footy team. They're a decent Premier League side, and they are going to make us work for it. I think it's just a preference. I think I'd fancy Ox, but
it's another example of a game though for me. Like last season, you can't improve points wise on Crystal Palace away, because you go to Selhurst Park, you win 2-0, 3 points boxed. But you can improve on how you go about achieving those points. And for me, it'd be nice for us to actually get that game done in a little bit more under our own steam, a little bit more under our control. You know, not needing a penalty and a late counter attacking goal. It'd be nice for us to go and just.
Yeah.
Like we started to do against Burnley.
To be fair,
just go and dominate the game.
We do that against everyone. When Steve was saying that we've cracked Burnley and that, we've cracked everybody.
We've cracked everybody.
That's the thing.
We've now got options. We've got players who can come in.
The positive on Palace is that they, against good teams recently, they've lost. So, you know, Chelsea beat them, Leicester beat them, City beat them, Tottenham beat them, all within the last couple of months. Obviously, they get that draw at Arsenal, but Arsenal were all over them. It just... The Emirates turned into the Emirates, and the old Xhaka thing happened. So when they've played against the good teams, they haven't been battered, but they've kind of, I get the feeling with Palace that if they go 2-0, they kind of throw it. It isn't the old Palace where we know quite well about comebacks and stuff. Hodgson seems quite a pragmatic team in that. He'll kind of take it.
The thing about Hodgson is, and that's why you're right, it's important to try and get this game won as early as possible for, you know, Napoli, all that stuff. But we've seen it with Hodgson ourselves. His management style's mad. It's like, defend for your lives, and then if it's close,
we'll go for
throw it. Everything at it in the last 10 minutes, and everyone comes away thinking like, oh, look how exciting we can be, and blah, blah, blah. He blinded us for probably another couple of months than we would normally have had by trying that stuff. But we've had that with, you know, we've seen it when they're bringing Benteke in, and is it Sorloth or whatever was the other big fella they had, you know, in the past. They throw the kitchen sink at you, and I'd rather us not have to be clinging on for dear life in this game.
Not at that ground, not with them fans.
Yeah,
did you hear anything about what Virgil's personal stuff was about?
I didn't know.
I presume if he weren't going to play, there'd be talk about it. He was going to be fine, hadn't he?
But yeah, you're right. In terms of Palace's form going into this, obviously going back to September, they lost to Spurs, drew with Wolves, beat Norwich and West Ham back to back. But since then, lost to Man City at home, drew with Arsenal away, lost to Leicester at home, lost to Chelsea away.
It's
and then
a bloody
us.
Tough run. Arsenal, Leicester, Chelsea, Liverpool.
He had them in fifth or something, and they got those fixtures, and they've kind of found themselves back where you'd think they would be by average.
Wilfred Zaha has not scored a goal and has just one assist in his 12 appearances.
He's had a cob on, hasn't
he? Yeah, I know.
He's had a cob on, though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He really fancied going to Everton, which is bizarre.
Yeah.
But which is mad. Yeah, fair play to him.
Surely he'd be made up now. Yeah, dodged the bullet there.
Yeah, I'm going to say,
they've not even got the prospect of getting Mourinho as their manager now.
They never did have.
They were all secretly hanging on for.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. Poch in at Goodison.
God, imagine. Out of the frying pan and into the fire. Like. just some of the games going on this weekend.
Just go through the new stadium shit for another 10 years.
Stick around till the new stadium's open. Oh, isn't it lovely?
That would be top of his CV.
I'm retired, lads. When's this stadium coming?
That would be on his CV.
That was brilliant.
Experience in waiting for a new stadium.
Yeah, yeah. He has opened ribbon cutting of two stadia. That's on his personal achievements.
Well, absolutely.
He's on
a
fucking trophy.
That record of achievement book you've got when you leave school. That's what Pochettino's is like. It's got a picture of him with the scissors outside the whatever Tottenham's ground's called. Spurs, mentioned them, just a couple of games won up this weekend. Well, the full fixture list, obviously. Spurs travel to West Ham. So the West Ham fans rolling their eyes at that one. New manager just in time to face them.
They've been dog shit, West Ham.
They've fallen off a cliff, haven't they, the last few weeks? But it'd be hilarious if they actually went and managed to pick up the win there. Leicester travel to Brighton at the same time as us, 3:00, and then City, Chelsea. I mean, stay any personally, and I've been doing this all season long. And is it an anti-jinxing kind of situation? I prefer not to say, but I can't see. I just don't feel like Chelsea will have it. Was it 6-0 they lost there last season?
Absolutely, I disagree. Chelsea are informed.
Well,
they won loads. Listen, City will be favourites in every game they play now. From now to the end of the season, they're going to be the favourites in every league game. But you can score goals against City, and Chelsea have got goals in them. Whether Chelsea's defence is still, I think, a bit suspect. I think they've got a couple of young players back there.
Is it Tomori?
He's been fine. He's been pretty good. And then obviously whoever's next to him, it rotates a little bit, still without Rudiger. But Abraham and Mount and William, they've got goals. And Pep will have been, he hasn't got no way to tear out. But he'd have been sitting there rubbing his head for 2 weeks thinking, oh, I'm sorting this back four out.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what he does. Because there's no way in a million years he can go with what he's gone with again and hope for better results. Because Chelsea will get chances.
I've got this sneaky feeling, though, because he'd had 2 weeks to stew on it. This has got one of those, it wouldn't necessarily define Chelsea's season in any way, shape or form, but you wouldn't want to be the first team to play City after Pep's been stewing for the fortnight.
I like what Lampard's doing at Chelsea, and I think he is going to do a good job. And I think I said at the start of the season, I expected them to get top four. But 2 weeks of City analysing Chelsea and Frank Lampard's system, and Pep Guardiola comes up with something that obliterates them.
Yeah. Chelsea hold on for the first half. I think they're in every chance.
Mate, Chelsea got one of the most informed goal scorers. City's defensive crap.
Yeah.
We scored off our first couple of chances and we almost had a few more. And listen, we've got world-class forward, so that's one thing. But Tammy Abraham will be licking his lips now. He really will. And the same with the other end. City's players will be like, we need to put it right. I don't think it'll be a battering.
The funny thing I said about Chelsea and Lampard in the summer was, I think they'll reach a point in the season when it gets a bit sticky for them, and does Lampard have the experience to drag them out? And it's just, for his sake, I hope they do something, because it could be one of those where you get to ride the feel good factor.
They pushed us.
I was surprised by how good Chelsea.
Where Chelsea fall down this season, and I do think they do. I think they'll still be good, but it's the amount of games that are coming. Because young players playing at the level they've been playing at, the consistency for the first third of a season or whatever, when it gets to 2 games a week, when it gets to December, that's when you'll see their performances start to go a bit more up and down.
Well, it's after this weekend.
Yeah, but listen, yeah, absolutely. Okay. But listen, we've been talking about Leicester. We've learned our lessons from Leicester, from them winning the title. You don't write things off, and good teams, if you keep
Brighton,
keep them injury free. Chelsea will give City a game. It's just I can't fathom a world where Liverpool could be 12 points ahead of Manchester City at the end of the weekend. And obviously we're still going to win against Palace before that can even be a possibility. But I can't see it being, because that's
about 10. Will you settle for 10?
Let's be honest. If Liverpool are 12 points ahead of Manchester City come Saturday night, that's the league done. I think.
For them. But then it would mean that Chelsea are like within X amount. Because Chelsea will have won. Mm. It would rule City out pretty much. It wouldn't rule Chelsea or Leicester out, would it? It then becomes Liverpool are the massive favourites with these.
There's no way if Liverpool win the league, it doesn't go down to like the last fucking game. Like after 30 years,
I think it might.
That's what I was going to say. If they're going to do it now, it better not.
Just do it. Imagine Cancer into the title after all the stress and we've been put through. I'm here for that, lads and ladies. Please let it just be that. Score predictions for our game then, Steve. Crystal Palace, Liverpool.
Same as last year, 2-0.
Dad?
2-0.
Liverpool can see goals now. 3-1.
Okay.
Liverpool do can see goals, a good point.
Are they the third best defence in the league now? Who's better?
Ah!
Chelsea? Is Chelsea better?
No, it's Chelsea. Marco Silva's
out. Oh, it's Leicester with 8, Sheffield United with 9, and us with 10, isn't
there
it?
There you go.
Chrissy Wilder's
crazy. I think 2-0 as well. I think, much like last season, and I said, it's about improving the way in which you get the results this season. And I think it'll
Mate,
be 2-0.
Who cares? I just want to win. Give me the Villa game.
But that's what I mean. I don't think Palace
huff and puff, then concede a goal. Then they tail off. Then they huff and puff a bit more. Then they concede a goal.
Shake hands.
Done.
I'm here for that. Thank you very much. Take 3 points off the Hodge and on our merry way. Thank you very much for watching and for listening to this. And yes, as mentioned, we've got some fantastic interviews on the RedmenTV.com. We've got Chris Kirkland and we've got Robbie Fowler. Completely exclusive, in-depth, fascinating insights into two completely different areas of Liverpool football with a wonderful bit of crossover in the middle. But you can get that completely free for the first month. I do implore you to go and check it out. Perfect time to sign up with the festive period and all these mad things happening around Liverpool. Gentlemen, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure and we'll see you all post-Christmas. Crystal Palace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.